Accession number 12710, Mr. John Avery, reel 12, like you know.
Mr. John Avery, reel 12. Before we go further, Mr. Avery, you said you wanted to mention one or two remembered episodes in Cyprus.
I did. It was an episode like, you know, you look wacker and laugh at it as well, like, you know. It was where a canteen in this little village called Cockatay, Timothy, and you could go and get this Stella Beer and that, like, you know. There was a rumpus. It was all started over a watch. I don't know how it come. It was supposed to be lost. Somebody found it and sold it to this Greek behind the thing, and the rightful owner saw it, and one thing started another. Anyway, we having a good drink, and it caused uproar. I said, the lads like Jimmy Cogg, Jackie German, me, and one or two more, we took the canteen over.
Did you throw the Greeks out or what?
Oh, just laughed at the thing. Jackie German got this big gully, like, off to make sandwiches, no man. A gully, he go to this Greek, tell a lie, don't you? And he's run. They were only in a plastic, the walls, one brick wall, and just been on the mud. He said, you tell now, you run up, try to run the wall. It's good, you know. Anyway, we got, come out of there, and they said, we went down to the village, and went in this, really know it was when, at the time. 19, it was. There was an old fiddler on the thing, was playing away. They were all dancing, and everything stopped when we walked in, like, you know. When we walked in, like, you know, carry on the thing, don't fiddle it. So they all the Greeks sat down, and we started to jig around with each other, like, you know. And in the meantime, the adjutant come in, the Earl Wilmot. He says, how will that just have it out? No, get away, young man. We all right. John, come on, he said, let's have it out, like, you know. And the old fiddler stopped playing, like, you know. Carry on, carry on, carry on. And then we got put in clean, can you know. I was in there 2 or 3 days or so. There was these other two, another instance, like, you know. Two sergeants, Jimmy Morris and Ginger Morris. Had been Morris Kirby had told them that one of them, I just forget which one it was now, said, I no idea about the anti tango. And we got on, like, I was outside the guard room, there was the anti tango and the japes and one thing or the other. It was laid out there outside. Because the guard looked after them, like, you know. And they got on, we were in there and we heard them on, like, you know. We got out there and we started jeeing them on, like, you know, about the anti-tango. And so they got this live round up the bridge and travel. Go on, it's going to fire, blow the roof off the officer's mess. Yep, what is it? It was hell to play. Yates was the CEO then, I don't know what really happened there to them.
These two men were what, learning to work the gun?
Well, they were in the anti-tank role, but Morris Kirby said, I don't know which one of them was, it wasn't good enough. front.
And was the other one showing him how going through?
Well, he says, "You know, he's showing this the other one how he was, how he could do it." Like we jayed him on, whoop, but it didn't have go, whoop. And the other instance, we were in the guard room. The Morris Kirby again, and the officers in the battery, the been playing cards in the officers' mess. The battery doing all the money off them. And Kirby wasn't sheltered. He come down, seeing an empty revolver in the battery's battery's jeep. Another incident. There's lots of little incidents like that you can send out a company when you're up there.
Was there, did you have much trouble with the Cypriots through drinking and that kind of thing?
Well, as I say, like me, we like us back up, we like to drink. And I didn't have any trouble I got, but I got put in down, like you say, I got put in the jail down there, and Cullisan Kent, he come and bailed us out.
What was that for?
Drunken disorder, maybe. Drunken disorder, refusing to fight.
Refusing to fight?
That's how we used to say, drunken disorder, refusing to fight.
Were the civilians, did they tend to be frightened of you when you were drunk?
No, I don't think so. Well, I didn't think so. And I thought they were seemed to be cunning and quiet. You know, unless you take that as being timid, like, you know, when you used to say, you know, they must have thought you were a vicious type of fella. But,
do you know of any serious offence involving civilians and troops?
In there's another thing. In the same place we were at. I cannot think of his name now. He was he was charged for shooting this Brussels charge, I think. And he was in out of the signals. And he blunged up this way somewhere, crooked way off, that way around. And said it was him, but when they found out, I think, if my story is what I think how it went, found out it wasn't him, it was somebody like him. But he'd been there at that same place. It wasn't him.
You said he was out the signals. You mean the Royal Signals or the signal platoon?
No, in HQ, you know, in Aula. Aye. Belonged away somewhere around Crooker, where that way, somewhere. And he never. He wasn't. I don't think he was proven, you know. Of course, there was a lot of things that said it wasn't him, but it seemed to push up, it seemed to drift away shortly after that, like, you know.
What kind of punishment could you expect for any misdemeanor, anything that you really did wrong?
Oh, I could get 56, the glass out. I don't know if, well, would have a place out there, like, but as I say, that's what you could do. Or maybe 2 to 3 years if you were a deserter. Like, as I say, I know Robert had some different kettle fish there further on.
There was none of that in Cyprus?
No, why? There was nothing to. It was only the camp sort of there, that, compared for what we had to come to. But as I say, we all said we were just young lads, and we were there. We were here today, as we always said, we're here today, and on tomorrow. We didn't care. We were all single, we had no, and not all, it was Bobby Varney was married. And most of the other lads were all single.
The war wasn't going very well, of course, for us at that time. And you would know this. Did you feel that things were going to be really bad for you?
Well, as you say, you had to take, you knew everything, something could go wrong. You just had to take it. When we were going in, if you could put it right, you could put it right. But there you are. You couldn't be all over the place, like, you know. He had one place was going badly, another place he couldn't be at them. But as I say, when we got into action, we just looked at the section we were in, you see.
So you were back into the box, you went into the box.
Box, the Gazala box.
What was it like in that box?
Well, it was no man's land sort of style.
What did the ground look like, the terrain?
Just flat, in the trenches, you know. And it was all mined round, like in minefield round. And you had gaps, what we'd call the gaps where you used to go in and out. There was two or three, Auckland Gap. And there was Darton Gap. And the different things had different things. I think it was gates. There were gaps, like, you know, what they called in there. And you used to have guards on there and all. At the end, you used to check every vehicle coming in, pre-boat and everything. And I forget once. I was on guard there. Jackie Howard, John Howard, Blondell name. Howard, not which was, you know, Jackie Howard or Jackie Howard? Which one was it? You know, as I was talking about. He was a corporal, and he was at the sorting gap this day. And his convoy was coming in, was a convoy of mines, you know. So I said, this is good, like, you know, check everyone, like, coming in, reading his thing, you know, prayer book, like, nothing, asking questions, like, you know, he was like, but you have to stop everyone, every vehicle, didn't matter who he was, colonel of what. He stopped his vehicle. So, this particular time, stopped this vehicle. It was a van-shaped one. A van, like a van-shaped effort. And it hadn't, I don't think it carried mines, that one. It was a thing, and we just opened the door, like, and the door, like that one. Asking his name, like, it was a queer sort of name, like, you know, kidding him on, like, you know, to walk his name and that, you know. What was his name? It was a queer sort of name. And just as we giving it back, what an explosion. Just the wagon behind, the wagons couldn't come right next to each other. It was maybe 20 yards behind them. And what an explosion. Wham! It went up. It blew us right down the gap. I think would have killed us, like, you know, if it hadn't been for the door, you know. There was this door opening out, like, you know, that way. Taken a lot of the blast, like, you know. It threw us down the thing. And when it was all over, look, there wasn't very much left of the wagon. There was one wheel, and nothing else that was on. And bits of meat, a bit of body, all over, bits of body. And his head was in the minefield. The driver's head was in the minefield. And this MP was on the motorbike. You know, the thing just got up and run straight into the minefield to get his head. We shouted, "Stop!" You know. When he got to there and he stopped, he said, "You in the minefield, like, you know, got him." And he roared. He said to him, like, to walk back, because there's nobody been in there. His footprints, to walk back the way he come. Aye. That's his ear vein blown up.
You know, did he bring the head out with him?
Aye. Got right to there, picked it up, like, you know, on his, you know, what I mean, he just done it on this further moment, like, you know. He'd say it. Of course, when we got ourselves pulled around, got back to the thing, like, you know, looking around and thing. They must have saw the head in the minefield and went straight for it. Course, you know, they were shouting. He got there. And when he suddenly realised what he'd done, we shouted, "Stop where you are." Because you're in the minefield, like, you know. Oh, you could see in his face, like, the time to retrace his steps back, which he could trace his steps back, because the neighbor he'd been in there was just the sand. He just come back and got out. I see he would have been there.
And what were you, what was your job in the box?
Just the same, anti-aircraft, and the same as that.
So yeah. Where were you positioned in relation to the other units?
Well, As a platoon, in what we call HQ, and we did the defence of HQ. We had a gun mounted, just the same, in a gun pit, and we used to do turns, like, you know, on the gun.
Did you get any chance to use it?
Oh, yes, I had one shot, shots like thing, but the only time you shot at them, them would come at you. If them were going across, them. Fly didn't want to cause no trouble, like, you know. And I used to do that, but as I say, then we used to go out on patrols. We did more patrols than enough out there.
You yourself?
Huh?
You yourself?
The platoon.
You were on a number of the patrols.
We did more patrols going out there than enough.
What happened? You've chosen to go onto a patrol. What was the procedure? Were you told what to do and what to go for?
Well, all you had to do is information. You know, what you could say, pick up, you know. If you could see the enemy and see where he was at, you know what I mean? And if you could get in close to see what things were there, like tanks or whatever they had, you see? So, that's how it's going.
Were these also the columns that went out? Were you involved with those? These job
columns? Oh, yes, yes, we did them. No.
Do you recall any in particular that you could tell me about?
Well, the one that comes to mind is called the apple column. That's where the lad you go on, I think James Coughlin, he got his MM. Because it's Wilson on a porte, like, you know, 2 pounder. He got a shell right across his back, and Jimmy pulled him out, like, you know. Well, he could tell you all about that.
You were on this Apple column. What happened?
Well, there's a lot of things I forget now, like, you know, but as I say, we got out, Jimmy might be telling more about an audit. As I say, we were in things like that. No, that wouldn't be then. No, let's see. No, it wouldn't be Gisela, that, no. It would be after Gisela. I'll go back. That would columns and then that column. Cause we were in the Gisela, it was a box kept in. And I come to think now, there was nothing in Jock columns then. No, it was just the patrols. Just the patrols going out.
How many would go out on a patrol?
Well, about 8, 10 of us, or something, that kind of thing. No,
and this would be at night time, presumably. And did you have to prepare for it?
I blacked up a little bit, like, you know. You could walk so far, you know. Then you had to get down, because it could be seen in the desert. Although it was, you know, like dark, palish light, you know, you could get down and see people just the same. If we all got down, you could see people walking. You could see. As I saw, you went on the patrol. You say you could get down and lie down, and you could see people moving about. You see, and the thing. I will, as I say, once went out on one of them, and we're getting a little bit too far forward, like, you know, we could hear them, you know, talking up nowhere. We'd see them, you know, lay flat out there, and they were lit, you know, the little, like, little bushes, like little shrub things, you know, we used to crawl up and get lay behind one of them, you see. They lay well behind them, you was good cover, like, at night time, you couldn't see you. So, crawling up, it's right up, oh, it seemed right, like from here, well, from our house, it's just across the road, got to the, I mean, oh, dear, it's getting no far, like, you know, but anyway, we just laid there. Every man took in what he saw, you know, and he could repeat. And just as then we lay down, this bloke got up and he started stretching himself like on a jury. You know, he was going to take over, and he's getting up and he'd come out, you know, like we did. Walked out and wanted to run off. Walked out right, just where Jimmy was at. And he got all over him. Dan couldn't dare move. You know, he knew. Because we knew he was there, because he said he would come out. And Jimmy tells him, he says, pissed all over me. Well, I say, he couldn't, because if he said out, well, the balloon would have went up, we wouldn't have had much chance.
Were these Germans or Italians?
Germans. They wouldn't have had much chance. Because we were just on foot patrol, like, you know, and they vehicles just whip us back. We were just on foot patrol. And as I say, we got back again on that night. But yeah. But on another patrol, and I forget that around him, goes out again, and goes out there with his officer, and gets right up behind these right at the right hand this time. They were laying these mines, and as they were laying these mines, we were picking them up, because you could see right behind them, walk behind them. And they were shouting and singing, like, you know, And this Jackie German, he's dead now. He used to live down there. He used to carry the brand gun in the strap room. He said that his brother said, no. He wanted to go up and he could have knocked him off his ears. Thing. Be honest and true, this is no, just no joke, and he could have walked up, but kept him on the shoulder. Because to me, I think they were the frightest people in the world in my times. And he would pick them up, all the minds, like, you know. And Jackie was saying, well, want to go on and on. Officer said, no, we've come to this end, as far as where to go. And he said, we're going back.
You're picking the mines up. What did you do with them?
We just took them back, like, you know, they carried them back. And where they had a, to be honest, RA bloke. Jenny used to have one of them go, in case he did go away on a thing there. He was out there to dismantle them. Maybe had a couple of lads, like, you know, sometimes going to dismantle the mine, you see. And they took them up. And they got back that day, that night, just drifted back. To be honest, I said, they're my challenge. You walked up and they were ready to give themselves up. To me, they were done. They would just give themselves up.
What was it feeling like to go out on a patrol at night?
Oh, yeah. You had butterfly sort of style, just like anything. Like, if we were going to football and fighting, like, you know, boxing, a bit of tummy trouble, you know, butterflies, like, you know, but once you got out and you were doing something, you were all right. Your mind was active for something else, not what could happen, which could have done, like, you know.
When you came back, did you have the next day to yourselves because you'd been on duty all night? When you came back in, was the next day what for sleeping or recovery?
You got that next little bit of sleep, but you were up against down to once the sun got up, man, you were up. You had to get up and treat your rifle and brand gun and that.
Yeah, any other memories of actually actions and events once you were in the box?
Oh yeah, well yeah, we got I believe it was there when we got some new recruits up there. I'd just come out and they sent them where they were sent out on patrol. Which I thought were then, like, you know, we went our first patrol was the same as theirs. They just come up.
They were taken out as a bunch.
They went up, just new recruits, like, that hadn't been long out there, England, I think. And they sent them up. They sent them out there on patrol, not by themselves, like, you know, they went with. But they hadn't that much experience. Well, we hadn't really when we first went out, the first patrol we hadn't, till we learnt, like, you know, going out. And we got used to it, like, you know. And they went out. And not knowing, like, following the night time, looking at the stars, like, you know, when you're there, you knew which way you were going, like, you know. I think it was two or three of them got mislaid, like, they just got out of the road, like, you know, they just walked straight into the mine, blew themselves up. They hadn't been out that long, you see.
You learned, were you actually taught to guide by the stars?
No, well, you got to tell about the stars, and you know yourself. If you follow this like before you ever in the army, stars, anything like that you could pick out in the sky, where you'd come from. You could follow that back. You'd sure to come out somewhere near where you were. And that's what we used to do. But we used to always keep in contact with each other, like when we were out on patrol, like, you know.
And how did you do that? Were you very close, or?
Well, not that close, like, you know. Say from here to the end of that.
Oh, 2 or 3 yards.
Yeah. Or you could, you know, you used to keep in contact, like, you know.
We're usually led by an officer.
Well, the officer went out, and the sergeant, like, you know, man's got NCO, a full corporal out, like that, you know.
What kind of weapons did you take with you? The usual ones that you had?
Just a rifle, like, and Bren gun, and that was it. Light.
You hadn't got into any small machine guns,
No,
automatics?
No, we hadn't, out there, just rifle and Bren gun.